Up until pretty recently, it wasn't just outsiders who were criticizing the Army's acquisition process. A year and a half ago, the Vice Chief of Staff of the Army said the service needed a big bang to shake up a process that often took a decade to develop new weapon systems, and the Secretary of the Army commissioned an independent study to determine what the Army needed to do. It found 76 problems the Army, DOD, and Congress needed to fix. But in a roundtable with reporters, Lieutenant General Bill Phillips, the Army's top uniformed acquisition official, said the idea that the Army's acquisition corps can't deliver capabilities on time and on budget is a myth.
There are a lot of naysayers out there about Army acquisition. A lot of naysayers that say we can't deliver product. I can give you example after example where the Army has delivered capability, starting with MRAPs, MATVs, 60-plus upgrades to the M4, which is an exceptional weapon today, performing well in combat. We got that feedback. M240L light machine gun that soldiers love downrange. UAVs, exponential growth, upgrades to all our major helicopter systems, all have been done essentially on schedule, delivered in support of our warfighters. So even though you hear the rhetoric that Army acquisition can't deliver, yes, we've had some issues in the past. We're working to make sure that we address those issues and we deliver that capability. The myth is Army acquisition can't deliver. The truth is we have delivered for our soldiers. We delivered yesterday, we're delivering today, and we'll deliver tomorrow.
Those problems of the past were pretty significant, according to the Independent Army Acquisition Review conducted by Gil Decker, a former Army Acquisition Chief, and Lou Wagner, a former head of the Army Materiel Command. The issues they identified in last year's report meant that the Army poured at least $1 billion a year over the previous 15 years into acquisition programs that it wound up canceling because of cost or schedule overruns. But Phillips argues those problems are over. He's just back from a trip to Afghanistan, where he says soldiers have been telling him the Army's providing the right stuff, they just need more of it. One huge example of that, he says, is a brand new variant of the Army's Stryker vehicle called the Double V Hull, a design he says has saved countless lives.
If you were to go back almost 24 months ago, Double V Hull was something that was presented to us that was a PowerPoint deep, really. It was a PowerPoint chart. And a concept that GDLS, General Dynamics, had come up with where they thought we would be able to produce this vehicle. And today, we have almost 300 vehicles fielded to soldiers in combat today. And we'll continue to produce and field this vehicle. We're going to actually build about 760 of them. And to hear the feedback from soldiers and commanders about the value of the Double V Hull, it is truly remarkable. And the best example I can give you is 40 incidents to date where the Double V Hull has encountered an IED, with the exception of two where we had severe casualties or KIAs. All of the soldiers essentially walked away with just minor injuries.
It's not that the Army Acquisition Committee disagreed with conclusions in the Dyer-Decker-Wagner report. Quite the opposite. John McHugh, the Army Secretary, wound up concurring with 63 of the 76 recommendations. And Phillips says a majority of those 63 will be implemented by this summer. He says the biggest hurdle the Army's overcome so far was getting its requirements process under control.
We have revised the way we look at requirements. We always look at it through the lens of what capability is it going to provide? Is it feasible in terms of execution on the timeline that we're talking about? And most importantly, is it affordable? So we look at it through an affordability lens. The best example I could give you is how we define JLTV. That vehicle would probably have cost us close to $500,000 if we had gone forward with the strategy that we had through the TD phase. As we revised the way we craft and bring forward requirements, and as we team between the acquisition community, the resource community, and our user within TRADOC, we refined the requirements, got it down to where we are confident we could bring this vehicle in for less than $250,000.
The JLTV is the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle. The joint part of the acronym involves the Marine Corps, who weren't so keen on the job the Army had initially done on procuring that ground vehicle. Phillips says that too has changed.
They are in with both feet now, and that wasn't true 7 or 8 months ago. But when they saw the way we were attacking requirements, that we were driving affordability, and we were making sure that we had the right kind of requirements and listening to both our user and our soldiers and our Marines, they went in with full speed ahead. Had we not revised the way we craft and bring requirements forward and assured affordability and executability, we never would have got there. Part of that, or much of that, is inside the Decker-Wagner report as well. So that's where we probably have taken the greatest strides.
Phillips says the network is still the Army's number one modernization priority, and it's the area the Army continues to point to when it tries to show off how it's changed the way it does business and acquisition. The Army's main showcase on the technology acquisition front is the NetWarrior program. By putting that battlefield communication system in the hands of soldiers at the Army's recurring network integration evaluation, it restructured the program and cut its costs by what the Army estimates is $800 million. For Major General Tony Kukulo, that's Exhibit A for why the Army is still getting beat up undeservedly on the topic of acquisition.
In one event, we saved taxpayers $800 million, and the report out is, once again, Army can't manage its programs. Look at this. They had to restructure. You know, what's their problem? It's frustrating for me to listen to that. I mean, sometimes I feel like, you know, the first battle in World War II for the U.S. Army of the Pacific was called Buna. We did not do very well. But holding the Army to the standard of Buna, it's like saying in 1945 the Army can't fight in the South Pacific. And we are making incredible strides in this, and staring at the past and repeating the negatives of the past, I think, is without context and also inaccurate.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.